Dr. Ivan Meisner is the founder and chief visionary officer of BNI, the world's largest business networking organization. Founded in 1985, the organization now has over 10,900 chapters in 76 countries throughout every populated continent of the world. Dr. Meisner's a best-selling New York Times author who has written 28 books, including his second edition of Who's in Your Room, called the father of modern networking by both Forbes and CNN. Dr. Meisner is considered to be one of the world's leading experts on business networking and has been a keynote speaker for major corporations and associations throughout the world. He has been named Humanitarian of the Year by the Red Cross and is especially proud that he and his late wife, Elizabeth, are the co-founders of the BNI Charitable Foundation. In his spare time, he is also an amateur magician and a black belt in karate. Welcome, Dr. Ivan Meisner.
Jennifer, thank you.
I'm so happy to have you here. Oh my gosh, what a thrill.
And please call me Ivan.
Oh, okay. I'm happy to do that. And Ivan, not Ivan the Terrible.
No. Well, maybe some people might have.
Maybe sometimes, right? Great. Well,
one of my kids today for sure.
Yeah. Especially when they were teenagers, right?
Yeah.
So Ivan, tell us, you know, there's so much to talk about here, but I really do. One of the things I wanted to ask you about, you and I met back in, it was about 8 years ago, and we were talking on a podcast with our mutual colleague, Andy Lapata from England. And Andy and you were talking about the, you know, whether you were introverts or extroverts. And you said that you, we're told that you were an introvert. You weren't really sure that that was the case. Could you talk a little bit about how you identify as an introvert and how you came to that conclusion?
Yeah, well, I really went back to February of 2009, where our children, the youngest, were in high school and they were in some play and they were doing a rehearsal. So it was the first night in many, many years that my wife and I were at home alone for dinner. And we're having a conversation. It's a really nice conversation. It's like, hey, this is what it's going to be like to be an empty nester. And I said something. I don't remember what it was. Or she said something. And I respond. I said, oh, you know me, honey. I'm such an extrovert. And she looked at me and she's like, no, you're not. And I'm like, what do you mean? Of course I'm an extrovert. I run the world's largest networking organization. You know, today we have almost 11,000 groups in 77 countries. And I said, I run the world's largest networking organization. And she said, well, honey, whatever you say, if you think you're an extrovert, that's fine. I'm like, no, come on. What do you mean? Of course I'm an extrovert. I'm a keynote speaker. I'm on the media all the time. And she said, you're not an extrovert. Now I'm annoyed. We were having this really nice dinner and I'm annoyed. We finished dinner and I went into my office at home and I got on and I found some test. I don't even remember what it was, but it was about being an introvert. And I took the test and it came back and it says, congratulations, Ivan Meisner, you're an introvert who is a situational extrovert, meaning that when you're talking about something that you're really knowledgeable about, you come across as an extrovert. Otherwise, you're a total introvert. Go apologize to your wife. Okay, didn't say that last part, but I did. And she pointed out the one thing that really got my attention. She was saying ways that I was an introvert, but the one that really hit home was she said, introverts, she was reading a book right then called The Introvert and Extrovert in Love. Mm. She was a total extrovert. My late wife was a total extrovert.
Yeah.
So she said, one of the things in there is introverts recharge their batteries by being alone. And so you do your BNI thing, you're in front of a lot of people, you know, that's your situational extrovert side. But when you get in a room by yourself, you just shut up, shut down, you know, recharge your batteries by being quiet. You know, you can be with the family, but she said, you know, introverts, they basically hide to recharge their battery. And I was like, oh, that is so
yes,
me.
Yes, yeah.
That's totally me. And that's when I went and took the test and discovered the situational extrovert.
Yes, yes. And I imagine that was useful to you or helpful to you in understanding.
It was. It was. And I wrote a blog on it February 2009. Anybody that wants to see the blog, it's called OMG, I'm an Introvert.
Oh, I love the title.
And it brought real clarity to me as to why I created the kind of organization I created. I mean, when you think about it, a network, it could have been a big party. It could have been, I could have thrown big events, mixers, lots of people, but I feel uncomfortable, particularly in a large group of people that I don't know anybody. And so what did I do? I created a small organization. Our chapters may have 20, 50, a big chapter will have 100 members, but still, you know, it averages around 30, 40 members. And you meet every week, you build relationships. It's a tight-knit group. And I'm like, oh my goodness.
This is introvert friendly. Yes.
Yes. Yes. This is for introverts. And I had never thought of that until my wife had me take that, or I took that test based on what my...
Yes. And you're another example in your personal life of that genius opposites we talk about, with the balance that you had with your late wife on that. So interesting. Getting back to that situation, the process of Business Network International, the largest networking organization that you founded. In fact, you're called the granddaddy, or no, not the granddaddy, the father. You might now be, but I don't know, father of modern networking. So can you talk a little bit about that process that makes it easy for people? You kind of reference that, maybe those conversations for people who are perhaps, that fear that they have. They talk to me about, you know, particularly introverted clients, like, I don't want to walk into a room. That's the most, you know, I have anxiety around that. I sit in the car. You know, and by the way, that's not just introverts, right? But though, I think it can be stressful for everybody to have to go into a place where you don't know anyone.
Right.
Talk a little more about the kind of a process that makes it more amenable to that quieter personality.
Yeah, well, there's a couple of things. One is, whenever possible, go with someone you know. Like, you know, before I started BNI, and I was about the same time I had started BNI, I went to a Rotary meeting, but I didn't want to go to it alone. So I knew somebody who was in Rotary that took me. He wasn't in that club. He was in a different club, but he took me to the club in my community.
Yes.
So that made it a lot easier, because there was somebody I knew who then, he was more than willing to walk around and introduce me. Hey, you know, I'm a Rotarian in such and such a club. I brought a visitor today. And that made it very easy for me. And again, this was before I took this test, but I was looking for ways to get in the door that made it comfortable. So I would generally go to networking events with somebody I knew who would then introduce me around. Now, if you're running an organization, let me give you some tips to help make it easier for those introverts. I call them open twos, open threes, open groups versus closed twos, closed threes, closed groups. And I talk about this in a couple of my books. One is Networking Like a Pro. Get the second edition, not the first edition. So what you want to do is teach the members of your organization to not stand in closed twos, closed threes, or closed groups. A closed two are two people. If you had the God view and you were looking down, there are two people standing face to face, perpendicular to each other, having a conversation. There's no easy way to break into that conversation, especially if you're a visitor. Instead of two parallel lines, stand in an open two, like a V. So if you're looking down on the God view, you keep an open space, which makes it really easy for somebody to kind of step in and have a conversation.
So let me just interject for a second. So are you saying maybe change the angle of where you're standing?
Exactly. It. Yeah.
Okay. So like to a 45 degree perhaps.
Exactly. And I'll give you a story, a true story, okay, of something that happened. So a closed three would look like a triangle.
Triangle.
Okay. Right. An open three would look like a U.
Mm.
If you're looking down God view, it would look like a U. So, an open group, a closed group is in a big huddle, 5-6 people, but an open group has got an open space. There's a spot where somebody can come in and have a conversation. So what you want to do if you're running the group is you want to train your members to stand in open groups, not closed groups. Now, a true story, I did this. I have graphics for this in the book, and I did a presentation on it, and there was a break, and I'm talking to someone, And the two of us were standing parallel. And he looked at me and he said, Ivan, we're standing in it close too. I'm like, oh yeah, you're right. Okay.
That's why I write this stuff, right?
Yeah, that's why I write this stuff. So I'm like, okay. So we open up into an open tube. Boom. 30 seconds. Somebody walks in, fills the gap. And he and I look at the first guy and I look at each other and we go close three. And so we open it up. So it's an open three. And then another person comes in. We open it again. Another person, another person, another person. We ended up having eight people in that group. And all we did
was stand differently.
We just stood differently. That's it. And so if you can train the people in your organization.
Yeah, I love it.
To do that, it makes it feel much more inclusive for visitors. Now, for visitors, look for the open twos, open threes, and open groups. And I would recommend if you're an introvert, and this is totally counterintuitive, look for the bigger groups that are open. And here's the reason why. If you're an introvert and you go into an open two, it's you and two other people, and they're going to immediately start talking to you, and you're nervous to begin with.
And you won't know how to extricate yourself.
Yeah, that's right. So if you go into a larger group, four, five, six people, and they're in an open stance, you can kind of slide in easily, not get noticed quickly. And then eventually someone's going to say, so nice to meet you. What do you do? Then you can strike up the conversation. So it's counterintuitive, but look for the larger open groups first if you're really nervous at a networking group.
It's very, this is so helpful. And who would have thought these nonverbals would be so powerful in that kind of situation? One of the other things that comes up for introverts when they're at a conference or whatever, they often say, yes, I'm very good at listening. I can even paraphrase what you're saying, but I don't really know how to, get people to learn about me. You know, whereas the extroverts they're not shy about that. You know, here's what I've been up to and that kind of thing. So what would you suggest in that case where you want it to be more, right, equal so that you're both sharing? Because we've all seen those people where it all becomes about them.
Yeah. So extroverts have no problem communicating, talking. And what's their favorite subject? Themselves. But the truth is, a good networker has two ears and one mouth and uses them both proportionately. A good networker listens. And so I think the introvert has a hard time meeting somebody, but they're better at listening. And what you want to do is, as an introvert, ask questions. Just ask a series of questions. You know, tell me more about what you do. What's the favorite aspect of what you do? What's an ideal client for you? And, you know, as you get this information, make note of it. The truth is, you know, you do want to say what it is that you do after you've had this conversation. But this is just the first take.
Yes.
Much of what I talk about is what I call the VCP process, visibility, credibility, profitability. When you're meeting someone for the first time, you're at a fourth stage called invisibility. They don't know who you are. And you want to just create visibility. And that happens by meeting people a few times, you know, where they know who you are. You know, they know who you are when you walk in. And once you get to visibility, then you need to move to credibility. That's where people know who you are. They know what you do and they know you're good at it. You've built a reputation in the community. And then and only then can you go from credibility to profitability, where people know who you are. They know what you do. They know you're good at it. And then they're willing to refer business to you. So that was a long answer to. You know, giving your side of it is okay, but I wouldn't worry about it.
Wouldn't worry about it too much.
Yeah. Listen, be a good listener. You do want to slip in what you do, but if you're a good listener, you're going to make a connection with that person.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. And wouldn't you say also the post event is where a lot of the magic happens? Because if you follow up as a good listener, then that person's going to check you out on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
You might schedule a time to get to know them. So it's more introvert friendly one-on-one.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I call the follow-up system the 12 by 12 by 12.
Uh-huh. I love your systems.
Actually the follow-up system, I got the wrong numbers. The follow-up system is 24/7/30. Okay. 24/7/30. 24 within 24 hours, you want to reach out to them either by email or do something crazy and send them a handwritten card. Nobody does that anymore. And just say, hey, it was really nice meeting you, Jennifer. I really enjoyed, you know, connecting with you at the event. And I found what you said about XYZ very interesting. I hope our paths cross again. And don't sell to them. Don't sell to them. Just start to make a connection. And one of the questions you should ask, it's 24/7/30. Within 7 days, you want to connect with them on social media. So one of the questions you want to ask is what social media platform are you mostly on for your business? And find out where they are. You want to go where they are, not where you are. You might not like Twitter or TikTok or whatever, although most people don't do TikTok for business. You got to find out where they are. And I learned this from my kids. I learned this from my kids when they were teenagers, and I would call my eldest daughter and she wouldn't answer the phone. But if I text her, she'd answer immediately. And I remember saying, you know, honey, this device has an earpiece and a mouthpiece. You can actually talk on this. And she's like, yeah, fine, Dad. So when my second daughter had her phone, she was a teenager, I would call her nothing. I would text her nothing. And so I went to my late wife and I said, hey, Dorian won't respond to me. What? No, you got to, she's 32 now. So this was like when she was 17, 16. Yeah. And so she said, oh yeah, with Dorian, you have to WhatsApp her. And I said, so this was a long time ago. I said, what's WhatsApp? Yeah. And so she tells me what WhatsApp is. And so I download WhatsApp. I tested it. I called Dorian nothing. I texted Dorian nothing, but I messaged her on WhatsApp and she's like, hey Dad, what's up? What do you want to do? So I learned, then came my son. Now this has to do with networking because you want to follow up where they are. So, my son was a gamer. If I called nothing, if I texted nothing, he didn't like WhatsApp, but I knew he was on Steam, which is an online platform. So I downloaded Steam and I bought a game. I was in my 50s. I bought a game because it had a instant messaging feature to other players.
And so, you got on there?
Yeah, I got on so I could instant message him, you know, and he would respond immediately, go, what, Dad? What do you want? You know, on instant messaging. So what that taught me was if I wanted to talk to my children, I didn't do it my preferred way, which would be to pick up the phone and call them. Or even sometimes email them. They didn't email much then. But I would call them. But that's if I wanted to talk to them, I had to go where they were, not where I was. So the seven is go where they are and don't sell to them. You know, comment on some of their posts, follow what they're interested in.
Yeah.
And then within 30 days, oh, and don't sell to them online. Don't do it. Not yet. You're not even in credibility yet. You shouldn't be selling. Then the 30 days, you reach out to them and say, hey, it was really nice meeting you a month ago. I dropped you an email or sent you a card and been following some of your Facebook or Twitter posts. I really like this one. I'd love to get together and learn more about what you do. Would you like to get together for coffee or lunch, you know, in the next week or two? And you do that within 30 days and then you sit down with them. Now, if you want, I can give you a technique to use when you sit down with them to make sure you're being heard too. If you want that.
That would be helpful to our listeners, I think.
Okay, so let's say you're doing the one-to-one. You're sitting down with them. I have this also in my book, Networking Like a Pro, second edition. It's called Gains Exchange. Gains, it's an acronym. G-A-I-N-S stands for Goals, Accomplishments, Interests, Networks, and Skills. Mm-hmm. I will often send it to somebody in advance and say, hey, here's how I would like to get to know you more. I'd like you to maybe just give some thought to what are some of the goals you have? What are some of the accomplishments you've had? What are your interests? What are your networks? What are your skills? And then what you do when you sit with them is you say, you go first. You give me some of your professional goals or personal goals if you want, just so I can get to know you better. And then I'll give you mine. So you alternate. That makes sure that they don't take up the whole one-to-one telling you all of these things. Now, sometimes people think it's strange. The first time I did this, I did it with a group of people in a BNI group. And there were two guys, an architect and a lawyer. And they said, but we don't want to do it. And I said, why? And I said, Jennifer, I swear. They said, because it's weenie. I said, it's weenie? What do you mean it's weenie? It's silly. We don't want to do it. I'm like, okay, do me a favor. Just do it.
Humor me. Yeah.
Yeah, just do it. And I'm going to give you a review. And at the end, say it was silly, whatever you want. I'll be honest. So they never got past interest in the allotted time. They never got past interest because they both found out they were coaches for their sons' soccer teams.
Oh,
that's it. All they would talk about then was soccer and coaching soccer. And they agreed to go film their competitors, you know, whoever that one person was going to be playing the next week, the other person would go and film them so that they can get an idea of what players to look for. And so these two guys who didn't want to do it got caught on interest, never got anywhere else. And that was okay with me because the whole purpose of the exercise is to find overlapping areas of interest. They did that. The beautiful thing is within a couple of months, they had never referred business to each other, but within a couple of months, they referred each other. And the reason for that was they're friends and they're looking out for each other now. So that's a great technique. And when you do the one-to-one, don't sell to them yet.
I love this. I love this. You know, this soft skill, soft sell, it's not even a sell, but getting to know people, building up the trust, the credibility you talk about, that leads to one of the things you talk about is profitability. But it also has such application, Ivan, for those folks who work in organizations. You know, the thing you said about communicating and finding them where they are, you know, what platform they're on, for instance, you know, and that has to do with how you communicate with your teammates, with your bosses. I mean, it's,
and sometimes people say, well, I don't want to go there. Okay, well, then you're not going to build a relationship with that person. It's okay. You have a choice. Make your choice.
And I keep using the term introvert friendly because that's really how we're describing these cultures in workplaces, which, you know, recognize that there's not just one way, for instance, to network or to communicate. You know? And I love these techniques are that way because, you know, you're talking about one-on-one building deep relationships. You know, not trying to work the room. Now, one of the things I remember about some of the groups I would go to when I was building my business was, you know, they would push the business cards. But it sounds like your approach is the antithesis of that.
Yeah, I call it card dealers. They're just passing out cards.
And it was such a turnoff. How many insurance brokers do you need in your...
Yeah, listen, if just passing out your cards worked, my co-author of Networking Like a Pro... He has a dog. I think the dog's name is Brandy. And I forget what the breed is, but it's like a really friendly, beautiful dog, blonde hair, just long hair. Just everybody wants to pet her. And so he said, look, if just passing out the card thing would work, what I would do is I would put a little cloth saddle on her. And on one side, I'd put, take a card here. And on the other side, I would say, put your card here. And I'd send her into the room for an hour. And he said, I promise you, there'd be no cards left on my side, but there'd be a ton of cards of people who put their card into Brandy's little saddle. He said, but that doesn't work. Just passing out a card isn't what you want to do. And to me, that's such a visual of how being a card dealer doesn't work. It works when it's organic and real and you've actually made a connection.
No, I love it. So we've been talking a lot about just the actual tactical, you know, part of networking and the approach. It's also strategic, really. I mean,
VCP is definitely strategic.
Strategic, and with models and processes, it really can work. And I love this. It's for everybody, really. And you've written 28 books. Tell me a little bit about. I wanted just to learn a little bit more about you, Ivan. And you started out. It looks like you had a degree in organizational psych. You have so many interests. You know, you're a philanthropist. What's exciting you right now?
Well, I love what I do. I think an entrepreneur is either working in their flame or working in their wax. And when they're working in their flame, they're on fire. They're excited. They love what they're doing. You can hear it in their voice. You can see it in the way they behave. When they're working in their wax, it just takes all their energy away. And, you know, you can hear that in their voice and you can see that in the way they behave. I spent, you know, BNI is 38 years old. I spent the first 30 years running BNI. I was King Arthur leading the charge. Today I'm Colonel Sanders. I get to do this. This is what I get to do. I do interviews. I speak to groups. I write a lot of books. The books help get media interviews. The books help to teach BNI members and non-members how to network effectively. So I'm really at the point of my career of living my best life and doing the things that I enjoy most.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So you have other people handling the operations of the.
I no longer run the day-to-day operations of BNI.
And what about the foundation? Talk a little bit about that. What's the focus of the charitable foundation?
The BNI Foundation, I also have a Meisner Family Foundation, but the BNI Foundation is the one that is much more well-known. Our focus is children and education. And my late wife used to like to say children represent 20% of our population, but they're 100% of our future. And so our foundation tends to support children's programs. And we also have an activity arm of the foundation called Business Voices. And it's where we will maybe go into schools and paint a library if they need it, do a sock drive if they need it, you know, do a shoe drive. We had one school that was a low-income school, and they said the biggest problem we have is in the winter, our kids come in and some of them don't have shoes, or they have shoes that are duct taped together. And of course their feet get wet and cold in the snow. And so they said, the BNI region said, oh, we got this. And, you know, they literally delivered a truckload of new or lightly used shoes for children. And it filled a closet, a big closet. And so kids would come in and say, okay, what size are you? And they'd be able to get these shoes. So that's a Business Voices project under the BNI Foundation.
Lovely. Beautiful. And I guess I also wanted to just ask you, internationally, not everybody takes their organization and expands it beyond the borders, let's say, of the United States, you know, and so you've traveled so much, you've been around the world. What have you learned from taking these concepts and these processes and this, you know, very successful organization globally? What would you say would be, you know, something you've learned from that experience?
Well, I think, you know, we're in 77 countries now, and there are definitely different cultures. So there's no question that every country has its own culture. But there's two things that I would address with that. One is, there's a culture we don't think of. Nobody ever thinks of it. And it's the culture of entrepreneurism. Entrepreneurs want to do things more effectively or more efficiently in every country.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when I went to Japan, they have what they call the Maishi ritual in handing out business cards. So they hold the tips of the business card and they present it and bow, and you grab the card by the tips. And many Asian countries do this, but Japan in particular, and it's called the right Maishi ritual. And so you don't write the card ever, comment on how nice the card is, whatever, and you take it. And so someone said to me, yeah, but, you know, you go to Japan, and in the U.S., people just toss their business card. It's no big deal. You go to Japan, it's so different. And I said, is it really? I'm like, yeah, it's totally different. I said, well, come on, think about it. We're all handing out cards. They don't hand out rocks in Japan. We're all handing out cards. How we do it might be a little different. We're still handing out cards. And which takes me to the second thing. The first is that there's a culture of entrepreneurism. The second is there are way more similarities between people than there are dissimilarities. And when we go into another culture, we just look at all the differences, but we don't look at the similarities. And one of the similarities is business people want to get business through referrals. They want to build relationships and get business through referrals. That transcends cultural differences. You know, Jennifer, in the last 12 months, for the preceding 12 months, BNI generated for its members $21.9 billion US dollars worth of business for our members. That, if we compared what we call thank you for closed business to the GDP of countries, based on UN estimates, there would be 114 countries with a smaller GDP than what BNI generated for its members in the last 12 months. That blows me away.
That must blow you away, considering when you started this one chapter. Are there certain parts of the world in which you're noticing more of that growth?
Yeah, right now India is on fire, China as well, but India in particular. I think within 5 to 10 years, India will have more members than the U.S. And you know, people say, well, it's a very small middle class. Yeah, it's a small middle class, but it's a huge country. So I think they have 1.4 or 1.5 billion people, and their middle class is roughly 20%. So one out of 1.5, that's 300 million people in their middle class. That's a larger middle class than the U.S. has. It may be a small percentage of the population or smaller percentage of the population, but it's almost the, you know, it's pretty close to the population of the U.S. So there, and here's the one big difference in countries like that. They're sponges for learning.
Yes.
I have more followers on my blog and podcast and Facebook. I have more followers on Facebook from India than I do the US.
Mm.
They are sponges for learning. One of the things that scares me about Western culture is that we've been so successful for so long. I think we've become probably a little complacent.
I would agree.
And we need to get hungry again.
Yes. Yes. I've done work in Asia, and the reverence they have for people like us too, and for what we're bringing. You want to be on your A game there, right? Because you feel
you do. You do. And you want to find out what the differences are culturally as much as possible. And if you've got funny stories, you want to tell your funny story to someone who lives there. Because I discovered, I have this great, great, great story about a magic trick that I did on a live TV show. And it was big flames, scared the heck out of the one of the co-hosts, the woman. She jumped into the lap of
oh my gosh,
the other co-host screaming, and it was all on live television. And he looks off stage, and I say this joke everywhere, or this whole story, and it builds up, so it's really, yeah, really funny. So I say this, the co-host goes, looks off stage, and he goes, "Wardrobe, new pants for her, please." And everybody always laughs hysterically, except I was
guaranteed
in London.
Lag. Except when?
I was in London, and I made the mistake of not telling, because I'd used this story so much. You know, "Wardrobe, new pants for her, please." Dead silence. Dead silence. And I'm like, okay, I said something wrong there.
Something was so triggered.
Oh, huh? So, yeah. So I kept on with my story. And afterwards, I said to somebody, I said, "Why did I get dead silence?" He said, "Oh, okay. In the UK, pants they're underwear. So you basically said new panties for her, please." And that's why it was dead silent. I'm like, oh my goodness. I broke one of my own rules.
Lesson learned.
So I said to the guy, what should I say instead? He said, "Trousers. Tell the stories to someone, who, you know, is maybe your handler, so that you know, they can help you with the cultural differences."
Yes, yes. Well, you've made such an impact globally, but you learned along the way for sure.
Everybody wants to build relationships, get to know each other, trust each other, and do business
with
each other.
Good point. And you've modeled that, the father of modern networking. So, Ivan, do you have any, we need to wind down, unfortunately, this interview, but I would love to hear, is there anything else that we haven't covered that you'd like to leave folks with, perhaps?
Two brief things that are related. One is, networking is more about farming than it is about hunting. It's about cultivating relationships with other business people. And you know the old saying, Jennifer, it's not what you know, it's who you know. I don't think it's either. I don't think it's what you know or who you know. It's how well you know each other that counts. I have some amazing contacts in my telephone. I mean, amazing contacts. The question is, could I call that person? Would they take my phone call? And if they took my phone call, if I asked them for a favor, would they be willing to do me the favor?
Mm.
So it's not just who you know, it's how well you know each other. That's the credibility part of VCP. And when you get there, that's when you start getting business, and networking becomes more about farming than hunting.
Yes. Well, I couldn't resist from saying a little joke that the kids won't answer, but at least somebody else will. Yeah, no, that's great. So credibility is the key. And you've certainly built that up, Ivan, over the many years. And so much rich information here that's going to be valuable to our listeners. So I can't thank you enough. I am thanking you tremendously for your contribution.
My pleasure. And thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. And tell us, where can people, what's the best place to find Ivan in the world?
Well, certainly BNI.com is a great place if you're interested in BNI. If you want to follow my blog, I have tons of, I've been blogging since, I think, 2007.
We've got to look for that one piece you mentioned.
Twice a week. Yeah, just do a search on OMG and you'll find it.
Okay. And where's your blog located?
IvanMeisner.com. And that's M-I-S-N-E-R, IvanMeisner.com. In terms of social media, I'm on all the platforms, even TikTok now. But I'm most active personally on my public Facebook page, which is facebook.com/BNI founder. Is it Ivan Meisner? BNI founder. Wait a minute. Let me look. It's Facebook.com/IvanMeisner.BNI Founder. That's my public page. There's no limit of people.
Thank you again. Don't be a stranger, and really appreciate it.
Anytime, Jennifer. Thank you.
That wraps up another episode of the Introvert Ally Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. If you found value from our podcast, we'd love you to subscribe, rate, and review us on your favorite platform. Also, please do share it with others. Thanks, and I'll see you next time.